Hi, this is Len Testa. If you like what Jim Hill and I are doing here on the Disney Dish, consider joining us on Sunday, October 26th in Flushing Meadows, New York. We'll be talking about Walt Disney's designs for the 1964 World's Fair and how that shaped the Disney Company's future attractions in Disneyland, the Magic Kingdom, and most importantly, Epcot. Information on the meetup is available at etccustomevents.com/experiences. It'll be 3 hours of Disney nerd nirvana. Oh, and there'll be food. It'll be fun. Welcome back to another edition of the Unofficial Guide Disney Dish podcast with Jim Hill. It's Ilan Testa, and we're back for yet another in our infrequent series of podcasts. Today, we're going to be talking about rumors of upcoming projects at Disney's Vacation Club. But in order to talk about the future, of course, we must talk about the past. And to talk about both the past, the present, and the future, and of course, all tenses of all verbs, including the pluperfect, here's Mr. Jim Hill.
I've so rarely been called pluperfect. Thank you, Len. So,
you're welcome. So I was going to do an intro based on wait, don't tell me, but I figured after last week's episode with Welcome to Nightfield, nobody would let me do that. There'd be mobs with pitchforks.
On the other hand, I'd love to hear your Carl Castle impression at some point. So
you know, you're retired.
That's right. That's right.
He's the emeritus now. He's the announcer emeritus. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Damn it.
It's Bill Curtis now, right?
Bill Curtis. That's right. Okay.
So. Anyway, so DVC. So we have some interesting rumors about what's coming up at the Disney Vacation Club. I was actually with you as you got some of these rumors. I'm sure you have other data, but in order to talk about the future, we need to talk about where we're at now and how we got here. So the history of Disney's Vacation Club. Go.
Yeah, okay. just to jump into it. I mean, you got to remember that timeshares in Florida didn't have the...
Not the best reputations.
Not the best reputation, but...
We could have put swampland. Okay.
You know, and so, you know, when Eisner came through the door in 84, I mean, everything was on the table. And, you know, that's they kicked the tires of timeshares. In fact, as early as June of 1987, they admitted they were looking at it. It wasn't until December of 1990 that they actually broke ground on the first one, which had the very original name of the Disney Vacation Club. But this was, a 74-acre site over toward, really on the edge of the Sagusa River. But the weird thing is, as soon as Disney announced it, people went nuts. You know, that they broke ground again in 1990. By April of 1991, the project was 45% sold. And
wow.
You're talking at this point, it's 11,500 people who purchased into the timeshare at this point. And to kind of put this in context, and I know this is going to hurt these numbers, but back then, each point only cost $56.50.
Of course, that's when steak was a nickel, Jim. I mean,
there you go. All right, you know, and it's just—I guess the average purchase was $15,000, and the annual dues were $650. So again, just think about that. You know, when your DVC bill comes through. Anyway, the resort itself opens December of '91, hugely popular, and so Disney bumps it from 497 units to 761 units really fast. And
so like 80% increase in units right there.
Yeah, right there. Now, and at the same time, everybody else in the company is watching this. I mean, take, for example, in January of 92, mm-hmm. Disney had announced the original version of Disney's Boardwalk, which was supposed to be a companion for Pleasure Island. I mean, the notion was we've Pleasure Island is so crowded at that point. We need sort of a blow-off.
Pleasure Island is so crowded. Man, this is really a trip in the Wayback Machine, isn't it?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. But so this is the version where it's only one hotel. In fact, the gimmick of this, it was going to be all suites.
All right.
It was going to be with this sort of design conceit that, you know, all these little inns along the boardwalk, we're going to be – you're scattered around them. But – this version of the boardwalk is 23 shops. It's got a 13,000 square Disney store. It's got a 900 seat theater where they're doing the Under the Sea show, which is featuring the characters and the music of the Little Mermaid. You've got the Walt's Attic restaurant where you can dine along, you know, among some of the treasures from the Disney archives. Not only that, an antique carousel, a lit up Ferris wheel. You know, this was a nighttime, you know, entertainment venue with, that had a hotel sort of stuck onto the side of it. But then as this thing is making its way through the approvals, you know, it just, the word starts to come down about, you know, we're having problems with Pleasure Island. There's a lot of people out on Buena Vista Drive who are drunk, who almost make it onto I-4. And, you know, the lawyers are really pushing back about, you know, I don't think a place that has more bars and restaurants is a good idea. That coupled with the financial caution that kicked in after April of 1992, when Euro Disney opened and didn't meet its financials. So suddenly it's like, let's get rid of all those restaurants and things. And how about putting a DVC in there? And, you know, so, you know, that idea came up out of the ground. Meanwhile, Disney at this point thought that DVC was going to be something they could do away from property. So, March of 93, word breaks. In fact, you'll love this. The guy who breaks the story that Disney's going to build, has bought 7 acres of land, you know, at Vero Beach and is going to build it. First offsite DVC, it's Craig DeZern, who's now he's now the vice president of public relations and communications for Disney. And part of the reason they hired Craig was to get him off the street because he kept breaking stories like this. Meanwhile, 6 or so months later, September of 93, word comes from the Carolinas that Disney's up there doing battle with Hilton Head homeowners because they want to build another DVC out on Palmetto Dunes. And so where this just gets kind of interesting is that all of the stuff going forward was away from property. I mean, you had, for example, the Disney Mountain Lodge was going to be built in Vail. I mean, these two 5-story wings of a hotel with 115 studios. In the fall of that same year, the word comes that, you know, Disney's going to do a DVC in Times Square. And, wow. A 47-story tall building and a $303 million development that Disney's right in the middle of. Of course, the problem is that Frank Wells dies in April of 1994. And Eisner gets cautious as well as erratic during this period. For example, Vero Beach opens October of 95, 261 rooms. As soon as it opens and they see that people, frankly, when they're coming to Florida, aren't willing to go over to Vero Beach. They want to be, you know, on property.
Right.
Disney cancels phase two and sells off the land that they had for expansion.
Oh, they sold the land. I didn't know that. Oh.
Yeah. It's, you know, that gives you some idea of the lack of confidence. Meanwhile, again, February of 96, you have Disney opening the Disney Institute, which was, you know, again, the whole notion of people will come to Orlando and go have an educational vacation. Like, you know.
There were some missteps, is what we're saying.
There were some missteps. You know, so by 2000, they've stepped away from this family-centered go-take-classes thing to now it's a corporate thing. The Disney Institute closed and was gone by 2002. One of the early victims of 9/11.
Yeah.
Anyway, January of 96, you know, it's time to rename the Disney Vacation Club to Disney's Old Key West because, just 2 months later, you know, you've got Hilton Head opening up. And just the whole notion of, okay, we have to sort of start designated that these are all different aspects of a vacation club and that people should think about. They could stay on property. They could stay off property. But at the same time, it's just Hilton Head opens and immediately same thing. You know, the occupancy rate is so low and so the advance bookings are so bad. April of 96, word breaks that Disney's pulling out of Times Square. And
wow.
And to this day, because, you know, that they end up, this was the hotel that was going to be built basically right next to the New Amsterdam. And, you know, Lion King opens less than a year later in that same theater. and you know, runs forever. And it was just the whole notion of, damn it, if we just hung on to that and we'd built that hotel, we could book packages or people could have gone to all of our shows in New York.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just been one, you know, stay in the hotel, see the show, shop in our store.
Yep, yep. All right, anyway, now jump ahead to July of that same year, and now Boardwalk Villas open up. And again, you know, this is Disney has turned, you know, it's like, okay, you know, just let's start putting them on property.
Yeah.
And this is where it gets really interesting, Len, because starting in late 1996, Disney files plans for a DVC to be built on the contemporary, on top of the Contemporary Resort's North Garden Wing.
What year?
1996.
1996, 2008, whatever. Yeah, sure.
No, okay. This is what's so bizarre about it. February of 97, the paperwork's in place for what was then going to be called the Kingdom Towers.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit evil, but okay. All right.
But yeah, so, you know, that was going to go. But now Disney's firmly committed to, okay, let's just do these on property. So we have the Villas at Wilderness Lodge, which were announced in August of 1998, opened November of 2000, you know, it's with 181 rooms. Meanwhile, Animal Kingdom Lodge opens in April of 2001. And, you know,
The lodge or the villas?
Yeah, well, this is the lodge, okay. And they then opened that up. It's 3 years after the Animal Kingdom is opened, and they found that they immediately had too much inventory. So they're looking for places to offload rooms. And, you know, that's when the idea came up of, well, let's put the Villas, you know, let's grab, I think it's floors 5 and 6.
Yeah, it's upper couple floors, yeah.
Yeah, and then build Kildani Village, but same year.
So why would they build Kildani if they already had excess capacity at Animal Kingdom Lodge?
Well, the pushback was that they figured they could take rooms. I mean, face it, one of the things that people like about the DVCs is the kitchenette, the extra amenities, that sort of thing. Whereas, you know, and it just the cost of redoing those floors to fit that conceit, it just would have been prohibitive. So the notion was go in, change out the amenities, but commit when you do Kidani to the 2 and 3 bedroom units with kitchenette, you know, hot tub, that sort of thing. And, you know, use those other rooms as kind of a blow off that, you know, I'm sorry, we can't get you into Kidani, but we can get you into the main hotel with a killer view.
Mm.
All right. Anyway, jumping ahead, same year, July 2001, there's the announcement of the Eagle Pines DVC. I mean, this was 61 acres. It was going to be Eagle Pines. You know, going to be themed after the classic hotels of, you know, it's the 1920s. And, you know, again, you want to talk about bad timing. This project is announced exactly 40 days before 9/11. And, okay. You know, and that's when you really see things change. I mean, for example, Eagle Pines comes off the table, but Disney, because they're facing all of these empty rooms and all of this empty piece of property right next to Downtown Disney. So they announced Disney Institute is closing and will be retooled as a DVC. Likewise, you know, you begin to see, you know, this was already in the works, but the July 2002, you have the Beach Club Villas open, and then you begin to watch.
And that took existing inventory from the Deluxes, right?
Yeah, and yes. This is where you begin to see this theme emerge. You know, this whole notion of if we have too many rooms, we can change them to DVC, because DVC is this unending pit of need. You know, that there's so many people coming forward who want to be part of it. So, you know, I mean, think about it. With Saratoga Springs, it was a 4-phase plan.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it just, in fact, it took them upwards of 3 years. You know, I think the first units opened in May of 2004, and the last ones weren't open until 2007. And meanwhile, again, recognizing that, you know, this is a way that when you have too many rooms to take them off your hands. So you've October of 2006, the Animal Kingdom Villas get announced. And And this is actually one of the more comical moments in the entire history of the DVC. Starting in January of 2007, they begin work on the Bay Lake Towers. All right. Nobody officially says anything, but
what's that building over there by the Contemporary? The thing you just demolished, yeah.
No, no, the racquetball court's gone by January 31st. The entire North Wing is gone by April 6th. And Disney never says a word. And meanwhile, people going by, you know, all of 2007, looking out the window of the monorail, taking pictures of the concrete being poured and the steel going up. And, you know, and meanwhile, here's Disney announcing, hey, we're going to build a resort in Hawaii in October of that year. And people actually have to wait till September of 2008 before Disney will finally officially admit that, hey, we're building something next to the Contemporary. It's like, really? Oh, my God. I had no idea.
What was that? This reminds me of the story that we had with when they eventually did Grand Floridian. There are these, you know, construction walls are up. They've demoed the area. It's going vertical. And so we're asking, you know, we asked our media contact, what's going to be the name of this DVC? What's the official name? Because we want to put it in the book. And we got an answer back saying, what DVC?
There you go.
Like, seriously? What?
I am told, however, that the reason that they have to do this, in fact, for example, in the case of the Bay Lake Towers, they announced it on the 16th, September 16th, 2008, and the units could then go on sale September, like a week later on September 21st. And evidently, it was one of these situations where they had not sold out yet of Saratoga Springs and Kidani. And it was one of these situations where we don't want to introduce a new resort that people will really want till we clear out that inventory.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but they had never anticipated they would move quite that slowly. Anyway, speaking of which, you know, Kidani opens May of 2009. And again, we now get into Disney getting adventurous. They break ground in November of 2008 on, you know, a Hawaiian resort on the Koyolani. And May of the following year, they purchase a 15-acre parcel in Prince George's County in just outside of Washington, D.C. That's been part of, you know, the notion.
It's like Napoleon trying to invade Russia. They keep going back to D.C.
Right? Well, that's what's nuts about it. They were going to be part of the National Harbor Project. It was a 500-room hotel, half of which was supposed to be DVCs.
Damn it, we're going to put something in Virginia. Something, somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, so now jump ahead. Bay Lake Towers opens August 2009. Earlier that same summer, the final phase of Saratoga Springs, the Treehouse Villas, comes online. You know, out in California, we have a Disney Vacation Club. You know, there it's only like 52 bedroom units, but, you know, they finally get some DVC out there, sort of plant the flag. And now, you know, again, we're still in the middle of the recovery, you know, of the financial meltdown of 2008. So there's this quiet period for a while. But then, you know, 2011, Disney decides that they're going to maybe finally do something with that chunk of property that River Country has been, you know, the long abandoned Fort Wilderness Water Park.
So they're going to start filming zombie movies there?
Well, maybe if they're affluent zombies, I'm going to just, you know, the zombie that's got a platinum card. This was going to be kind of a low profile hotel that stuck out onto the water. It was deliberately going to be built.
By low profile, you mean like not vertically tall?
But again, the idea is starting on top of the old River Country site, and then sort of marching out toward the water. And again, supposedly aping the look of what is it? Pioneer Hall, that sort of thing.
Cabin type, Lincoln Log type look. Yeah.
Very much so. That coupled with first time ever they're going to put a parking lot in. I mean, you know, remember that one of the things that people gripe about going down to Pioneer Hall is that they have to get on transportation.
Oh, my God. It's the double bus system. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but here's the weird thing, that this project actually got put on hold for kind of a bizarre reason. They did some initial survey work among people who, you know, had considered doing Disney Vacation Club, but in the end it backed out.
Mm-hmm.
And they reached out to these same folks and said, okay, if we built something at Fort Wilderness, would you be interested? And it was like, absolutely. But the problem was that they would then put it ahead of all of the other stuff that Disney was potentially building. And again, there were going to be another one of these situations where, you know, they had something like Bay Lake Tower.
And people want River Country.
Yeah. So it's just like, all right, we know that one works. Let's pocket that. Let's get back to that.
And so River Country is, by the way, everyone should take a second here and go onto Google Maps to mm-hmm. get a chance. But River Country is perfectly situated for a DVC. It's across from Discovery Island, which they should probably do something with too. But, you know, it's a prime piece of land. There's nothing else there. It's sort of in the northwest section of the campgrounds. You're right next to Hoop-Dee-Doo. You could connect into the Wilderness Nature Path that goes all the way over to the Wilderness Lodge. I mean, there's just a ton of stuff that you could connect to, and you've already got infrastructure built for. So there's a that's really just right there, isn't it?
No, it's an ideal spot, and we have a little bit of news about that one that toward the end of this podcast, so hang in there, folks. All right, so anyway, jump ahead. It's now August of 2011. Alani opens up, 359 rooms.
Have you been to Alani?
Not yet. You know, my ex and my daughter used to live in Hawaii, and I had an excuse to get out there, but it's been a couple of years, and it's just sort of like, 6,000 miles away. Not quite as convenient as, say, Orlando. So
I'm going to Hilton Head next month, or October.
Oh, you're going to love it. Nancy and I, during one of our more recent drives down to Florida, swung in there, and it's got such a nice feel. I mean, you're right up against sort of those meadows of sawgrass at the water's edge, and it's in a weird sort of way, it's sort of the un-Disney resort. It's you walk around and immediately relax. You don't think, I really need to get my wristband and get to an attraction. So, but no, check it out. Okay, Alani opens August of 2011. Immediately gets in trouble.
That's right. There was a conspicuous lack of paperwork filed or something like that, right?
There you go. They actually halted sales of the units and fired three of the top DVC executives because, as it turns out, they'd miscalculated the annual dues, and they were just set so low they couldn't cover the maintenance costs for this $800 million hotel.
But once they say there's a maintenance cost, you can't jack them up.
There you go. Yeah. So, and the interesting blowback was that this happens in August, and immediately they get cold feet about doing anything away from property. So what do? They cancel the National Harbor Project in November that same year. Yep. In fact, again, to show that they were definitely leaving the market, they actually sold off the 15-acre plot for their 500-room hotel in September of 2012 to the Peterson Company. But at the same time, it's like, okay, let's regroup. So what do they announce? You know, December, if I were talking about this earlier, the villas at the Grand Floridian, you know, we're going to do stuff on property. We're going to do it close. You know, let's just stick to our knitting. Let's go with what people want. Which now brings us to September of 2013 when the Pauly, the day Disney Vacation, that the Pauly gets announced as part of this massive redo of the used to be the Polynesian Resort, now reverting to its original land, the Polynesian Village. This is the one that gets kind of interesting because there's a lot of new ideas being tried out here. I mean, I'm sure all of you have seen the pictures of the bungalows right down by the water.
Yep.
Correct me, Len, it's 20 bungalows, and are they in front of, is it the Altair and Talu.
It's in front of Hawaii?
That was my understanding, that this is right down by, on Seven Seas Lagoon, right, what is it, that Outlook Point built along there?
Yeah, right in the middle of it. So it's to the right of the boat launch, between the boat launch and the TTC, that the point that the prominent point that sort of sticks out there, where people like to go for fireworks.
No, and it's where it's gotten interesting. It is that because of the positioning of these bungalows, that right now the resort has yet to come back and officially designate that when these hotel rooms, the old hotel rooms, come back online,
mm-hmm.
whether or not they're going to be Lagoon View, or considered Lagoon View, because obviously if there's a building in front of you and you can't see the lagoon, is that in fact then Lagoon View?
Yeah, so I think what's going to happen is the first floor rooms of Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
which are looking out over the first like six or eight of the these longhouses, these huts,
mm-hmm.
Those will look directly into those. So they won't have a view of the lagoon. So they're going to be transitioning to garden view. Which is good, actually, because you can stay in these first floor rooms, still see the Magic Kingdom fireworks, but only be charged a garden view for them.
Okay. But again, ironically enough, if you're on the second floor, you're now in a lagoon view room, or in theory. So
I wonder how high up you're going to have to go, because it's only a three-story building. So.
Yeah. Yeah. It just but and when all this work is done, what is it, 43% of the Polynesian will then be DVC.
Yeah, so these rooms, Tahiti, Rapa Nui, and Tokelau?
That was my understanding.
Yeah. Tokelau's a big building. So yep. Tahiti, yeah.
Yeah, and then obviously there's the work that's going on right now in regard to the pool. I hate to break it to folks, but when this is done, the pool will be gated at the Pauly. But I know, again, people will complain about that affects the view and yada yada. And really, this isn't one to hammer on the folks at Imagineering about, or the folks who actually handled resort design. This is strictly the attorneys, folks. Just think about the newest pools that have been built on property. I mean, for example, the Big Blue over at
Animation.
Art of Animation. I mean, that's a moderate, and you've got, you have to have key entry for that. And that's strictly to, again, prevent, small children not being able to go in that without being accompanied by an adult.
Yeah.
So to try to accommodate the fact that, for example, so many people look forward or remember going to the poolside and drinking at the bar, that they're actually sort of reconfiguring the bar there. So if you're coming off the boat, come over to visit the Pauly, there'll be a side of the bar that will still be open. You don't have to be poolside to get your Mai Tai or your Pina Colada, that sort of thing. And speaking of pool work, once this work is completed in March or thereabouts, they're going to be shifting over to the East Pool, where, that's also supposed to be retooled. In fact, I guess there's some discussion about plussing that because of the DVC membership, but there will also be a permanent grill built over there, so at least there'll be a restaurant type feature.
This is the quiet pool that's between Samoa and Tokelau, or
there you go. So huh. they just feel like, again, if this is the thing, when you bring DVCs in, there's just a feeling in house that we've got a plus, we got to step it up. Which oddly enough brings us to Tangaroa Terrace, where, it used to be home of a wonderful restaurant, and now it's Neverland Club, or excuse me, I'm dating myself, Club Disney and Laundry.
Yeah, I was gonna say. And Laundry, yeah.
Yeah.
So the relaxing laundry thing if they had Wi-Fi there, oh, beautiful.
Yeah. This is still kind of a watch this space. There's evidently some discussion of an exercise room going in there, again, with the notion of stepping it up because this is where DVC members are going. But then the question is, well, where else will DVC members go over the next 5 years? And this was...
There's only one more deluxe resort.
Yeah, that's right. It's the Wilderness Lodge. And as we talked about in last week's podcast, there's at least two rooms in the main buildings in the wings, or two floors, excuse me, that are being considered for conversion to DVC units. Likewise, just like at the Poly, we're talking 20 waterfront bungalows, which will have large enclosed decks that will look out into Bay Lake.
This has been something though that they've talked about for a while, right?
Yeah, in fact, if you go back to the original plans for when this resort was actually called Cypress Point, in fact, Dick Nunes talked about this in spring of '82 as what Disney would be doing after Epcot opened that fall. But among the features that were to be included were, you know, this wonderful, like, you know, rustic hotel with, I believe they said 10 bungalows down by the water, but these were going to be called honeymoon cottages. And not to raise a certain level of alarm, but this was also talked about for Grand Flow. The original plans were to have some waterfront cottages, so you got to wonder if they may circle back on that idea. These bungalows will have hot tubs, fire pits, and again, just as we talked about with the quiet pool at the Poly, evidently there's some discussion of taking the pool, the small, relatively unthemed pool at the villas at Fort Wilderness, and plussing that, you know, beefing that up. So it's just
that's a tiny pool, but they've got space to do it though. That's the thing.
They do. So watch that space. And now, you know, again, because we're looking to take, again, Disney has too much inventory room-wise. The occupancy rate is not where they want, so they're looking to walk this converting to DVC idea around to other parts of the resort. And among the places that are being eyeballed are the Yacht and the Beach Club.
Oh, yeah. The Yacht and the Beach are typically the deluxe resorts with the lowest room occupancy. That totally makes sense.
You know, and it's funny you bring that up because evidently it's the yacht that has the lowest of the lower of the two there.
Yep, the yacht's the lowest, I think, of any deluxe.
I was talking with a friend on the marketing side of things, and he sincerely believes that it's kind of a rerun of what happened with the golf resort. You know, it's just, let's face it, you're going to Florida, you're going to Walt Disney World, you hear Yacht Club, and it's like, that sounds kind of hoity-toity, uptight, I don't know if I want to stay there. So, I mean, they went through several different names. I mean, they went through Golf Resort, Disney Inn, before it's like, oh, to hell with it, and, you know, signed that 100-year lease with the military. It's like, oh, fine, you figure out how to run this hotel.
The Kennedy Compound and Beach Club.
There you go. All right. Now, okay, this is where we've run out of deluxes, folks.
Yeah, Yacht Club was the last one without a DVC. Yeah.
So what do we do now? And again, Len, back me up on this. You heard the exact same thing I did on this, but we look at moderates.
Yep.
And not just any moderate, the first moderate. We're looking at the Caribbean Beach Resort. But in a really interesting sort of way, what they're talking about doing allegedly, there we go, a qualifier, allegedly, is flattening three or four of the units and building a seven-story tall building that would then be orientated so we would face toward Epcot, to be specific, toward World Showcase Lagoon. So reading between the lines here, what they're thinking of doing would be, you know...
So hold on, wait, so Jim, let me pause here. Okay, everyone, really, go out on the Google Maps and take a look at this, because Jim and I didn't believe this. This was all sort of like speculative when we were hearing this, and then we looked on Google Maps and it all made sense.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, and it's just, what's scary about it is that, you know, some of this plan just sounds like science fiction. I mean, for example, you remember the part about the waterway, right? That supposedly the idea is to dig... to sort of extend the waterway that's in the Caribbean Beach Resort already, the hotel's built around, and build a canal that would then go under Buena Vista Drive. So we're thinking they have to build some sort of a bridge or something like that.
Buena Vista Drive, yeah. Which is good, because, you know, Buena Vista Drive needs the construction.
Yes, of course. Well, we're done. No, we're not. Oh, okay.
But, you know, and so this sounds crazy, right? You're going to connect. But again, if you look at it, it's maybe, we thought it might have been 1,500 feet to dig. So it's not like they've got to build 10 miles of monorail construction. No. We're talking about maybe, and I'm looking at it now, and it's probably more like from the one far end to the other, maybe it's 1,000 feet. But it goes, you would go right to, essentially north-northwest, and you would hit, you would leave Caribbean Beach somewhere between Aruba and Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would go, let's see, what is that? America, Italy, Germany. So we're Africa is right now in the outpost. Behind that is a lagoon where they keep barges.
Yeah.
They could hook into the waterway right there. And it's almost a straight line from the area between – by the way, it's empty land right now. It's the one big chunk of empty land in Caribbean Beach. Between Aruba and Barbados, and you could draw a line that's not more than, let's say, 1,000 feet to this little inlet, the closest piece of water in World Circus Lagoon. It totally makes sense. Actually, there's another small waterway between the two, so it's not even 1,000 feet of digging.
Mm-hmm. And when you factor in that, you know, you can then now offer as an amenity at this hotel. I mean, you can do a friendship that could potentially take guests all the way from, you know, the Caribbean Beach Resort, this new beefed up moderate DVC combo, from there over to the studios.
Yep.
You know, and again, with the option of stopping, you know, and doing the nighttime stuff over at the boardwalk and all that. I mean, it suddenly really changes this side of property, which, to be honest, was already going to be changing because of the work that's being done for Disney Springs. They believe this is the new white hot center of what, you know, where people will be spending a lot of time for the resort. And so to be able to advertise that, hey, you're, you know, in the DVC that's, you know, you're just up the street from the old Key West, but, you know, you're still, you know, right just down the street from this amazing new dining, retail, entertainment district. So, and that coupled with if they do basically top of the world too, you know, the fact that, you know, potentially you could go to the top of the 7-story building, sit in the lounge, drink a drink, and watch
Illuminations.
Illuminations or whatever the Steve Davidson show is that
well, not only that, you should be able to see Fantasmic from where you're at.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it's not that much farther.
No, it's, and again, just to, this is just further speculation, and I apologize because we're spinning a lot of plates here today, folks.
Yeah.
But think about this. You know, you have right next to the Caribbean Beach, you have the Art of Animation and Pop Century, which share back of house. And I think it was you, Glenn, who looked and saw that if they were going to dig,
it's only another 200 feet of land between the Hourglass Lake and the Caribbean Beach. Yeah.
And if you look at, you know, the fact that how many family suites and that sort of thing you have over at Art of Animation, I mean, they've actually stalled out with the conversion of the other side, the original part of Pop Century. The plan always was that would be, if Art of Animation was a huge success right out of the gate, that they would just swallow the other side of the resort and do the same thing. They'd, mm-hmm. they'd pick other films, you know, to build those around. That plan has stalled because there's been some resistance to the price point for Art of Animation. But if, on the other hand, if this were reconfigured as a DVC property, and, you know, they did, you know, they went full suites on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this gives them more inventory. You know, again, to caution here, folks, all right, we were told that this was a 5-year plan.
Yep.
And to be fair, as we mentioned early on here with this, you know, that this, if you talk about Eagle Pines, if you talk about Times Square, if you talk about, all of the DVCs that were talked about, posed art out there and got shut down, it's important to understand that this plan could change. It could be in flux. But at the same time, just because something's off the table doesn't mean it isn't going to come back on the table. In fact, that's you were the one telling me, Len, right? That site test balloons for the DVC at River Country were just up this past weekend again?
Yeah, so it's it could be a complete coincidence, but the same day that we heard about this this rumor about the DVC stuff going in at Fort Wilderness, there were some sight test balloons going being seen at Fort Wilderness as well. So the sight test balloons are
height test.
So what happens then is, let's say Disney wants to see what a seven-story building looks like from a height perspective. They'll get these essentially weather balloons, paint them orange, and inflate them so that they float seven stories above the ground. And then they'll look at different places around whatever the property they're at to see where you can see those balloons. And that essentially tells them where you'd be able to see the top of this building from around property. So, for example, if they're doing these seven-story balloons over at Fort Wilderness, they'll probably walk around the different campgrounds and see in various clearings and open spaces whether they can see the top of that building from there. And what they're trying to do is preserve sight lines.
No, absolutely. I mean, the visual intrusion and making sure that, you know, that they can get the occupancy level that they want out of the building, but at the same time, you know, they don't necessarily destroy the ambience that's already there of Fort Wilderness. But anyway, again, folks, that just to caution, this is Disney. Plans can change. You know, they were, just to remember what happened with the original plan for Downtown Disney, just after the financial correction of 2008. You know, all of that stuff that was announced never got built. Yeah. And, you know, so.
Whatever happened to Western Way, by the way? That should be a whole other episode.
That's another episode.
They've taken that off their website, but it's finally no longer there. Yeah, but this is, if they start doing moderates, that would be super interesting. The we were trying to figure out, besides the prime location of Caribbean Beach, why would you pick that one? But the other thing, French Quarter is a little too small, and Coronado already has the convention.
Yep.
Space. It comes down to Riverside and Caribbean Beach, and my guess is there that Caribbean Beach won out for the location. But you could totally take all of Alligator Bayou and make that DVC.
Yeah, and again, it's just I think we're outside of the 5-year box at that point. But and I think the one thing to understand about why Disney keeps charging forward with DVC is, Len, you're the one who pointed this one out about the DVC revenue is pumped into to theme park revenue.
Yeah, there's a number of financial benefits to Disney doing it. Number one is all the DVC revenue gets booked to theme parks, and Disney doesn't break it out separately. So for the last 20 years almost, Jim, they've been taking this DVC revenue and adding it to the theme park bottom line. The day that they stop that,
yeah,
is the day that theme park earnings drop relative to what they were last year. And, of course, no CEO wants to do that. So they're essentially on a treadmill that they have to keep. Or, they've got balls in there that they got to keep juggling. Is what that
No, was. That's it exactly. And nobody wants this game of financial musical chairs to end. So
the other thing is, the more rooms that they take out of circulation, the better their revenue per guest night looks for the hotel. So so one metric that they use is the amount of revenue they get per night spent at the each hotel. And so obviously there are two ways to improve that number. One is you increase the numerator, the amount of money that people are spending per day. But you can also decrease the denominator, right? You can also decrease the number of rooms in circulation to make your current revenue look better. Mm-hmm. So DVC accomplishes both of those goals. It keeps them able to book DVC revenue to theme parks, and it improves that revenue per night per room number, which is a pretty important metric for the financial people. So,
no, absolutely.
And
again,
so many people have a vested interest inside Disney to make those numbers look good. At this point, I'd almost bet money on Caribbean Beach.
No, I hate to say it as well, but it just between. There had been all of this talk a while back. In fact, I think we mentioned it on one of the Epcot shows about looking to try to do a DVC that would have been basically back of the house, that would have involved pulling out the Reedy Creek fire station that's there and taking some space backstage behind the Japan Pavilion, the American Pavilion, and I want to say...
But this is literally like 400 feet on the other side of the road from it. I mean, it's exactly the next best thing.
And that's the story that I heard, that when they were working the financials and they realized what they'd have to spend back of the house to make this work.
Or we could shift it, you know, one football field's length to the left.
There you go.
Okay. You know, done.
So that's what we're looking at, folks. So
they don't even need a PowerPoint for that. That's a decision they can make. No.
But again, just caution you that plans can change, you know, but this is just, this comes from a very good source, and it's a fascinating idea, you know. More to the point, just sort of lines up with a lot of stuff that's actually going on right now, and we'll just have to wait to see. I guess we'll know definitively in 2019, 2020. So you know,
after Avatar Land opens,
there you go.
Just in Star Wars Land.
Okay.
We should live so long. All right. Jim, thanks again for another episode. Folks, you've been listening to the Unofficial Guide Disney Dish Podcast with Jim Hill. Please go onto iTunes and rate us and tell us what you'd like to hear next. For Jim, this is Len. We will see you on the next show.
Take care.